This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. Thank you for joining us this week on New Beginnings. The National Institutes of Health is beginning a handful of studies to test possible treatments for long COVID, an anxiously awaited step in the United States' efforts against a mysterious condition that affects millions. The announcement comes amid frustration from patients who've struggled for months or even years with sometimes disabling health problems with no proven treatments and only a smattering of rigorous studies to test potential ones. Scientists don't yet know what causes long COVID, the catch-all term for about 200 different symptoms. Between 10 and 30% of people are estimated to have experienced some form of long COVID after recovering from a coronavirus infection, a risk that has dropped somewhat since early in the pandemic. A project called the Recovery Initiative has tracked 24,000 patients in observational studies to help define the most common and burdensome symptoms, findings that are now shaping multi-pronged treatment trials. The first two will look at whether taking up to 25 days of Pfizer's antiviral drug Paxlovid could ease long COVID because of a theory that some live coronavirus or its remnants may hide in the body and trigger the disorder. Normally, Paxlovid is used when people first get infected for just 5 days. Treatments for brain fog and other two additional studies will open in coming months. One will test treatment for sleep problems. The other will target problems with the autonomic nervous system, which controls unconscious functions like breathing and heartbeat, including the disorder called POTS. A more controversial study of exercise intolerance and fatigue is also planned, with the National Institute of Health seeking input from some patient groups worried that exercise may do more harm than good for certain long COVID sufferers. The trials are enrolling 300 to 900 adult participants for now, but have the potential to grow. Unlike typical experiments that test one treatment at a time, these more flexible platform studies will let NIH add additional potential therapies on a rolling basis.
We're talking to a medical director for the Minnesota Department of Human Services, Dr. Nathan Chomolo, talking about long COVID and just where we are with COVID just in general.
You know, this virus has not been one that we've got a full handle on. And we do know that there's been things like the poor air quality that's been going on that's pushed some folks more indoors. And so we don't point exactly what the future holds, but you know, I think things that we have tools to really continue to help give us the best protection possible. We've got our vaccines out there. We talked a little bit about our access to testing. And then folks have gotten in the habit of putting on masks and when they're in high-risk situations and if they themselves are at high risk. And so I think we hopefully won't see spikes like we've seen in previous summers, but, you know, we have to be ready and stay ready, which is what we're doing. Mm.
So talk about this team of long COVID, the guiding council and the long COVID team at the Minnesota Department of Health has put together. What is this team all about and what exactly is it supposed to do?
It's been up and running for over a year. I'm really trying to data and understanding about what we know about long COVID, you know, a condition that happens after folks get COVID, most often after you get a severe case of COVID, but we do know that folks with mild cases of COVID can develop long COVID symptoms. Trying to understand what system is doing to be prepared for folks that are looking at when you go to the doctor's office, are the doctors ready to diagnose and recognize long COVID? And then do they know where to send you? Are we able to pay for folks' care who have long COVID? Do we have the right ability to identify and make sure you get resources for things like disability benefits if long COVID ends up interfering with your ability to work. And so really trying to understand the impact from multiple levels, including the community, because we know COVID-19 has impacted our community differently than other communities, certainly hit us harder in many respects. And so long COVID too has the potential to hit us harder, and wanting to make sure our communities are at the table, letting us know what they're experiencing, what their needs are when it comes to long COVID.
Dr. Tremolo, I know that there are some there are specific symptoms. Can you talk about some of those symptoms of long COVID that you've seen that some people seem to have? And also, is long COVID included in that? Are there mental health issues that people make that you've seen that people have behind the whole COVID virus, and just people like they don't want to go out as much as they used to, or some people are more germophobic than they used to be because of all the cleaning that we were told to do. Talk about some of those long COVID symptoms that you're seeing in people.
That's where it's a little difficult, because there's a lot of overlap with a lot of different things that, you know, can cause you to feel ill. But amongst, you know, what we've seen so far is, you know, folks who experience long COVID most commonly report things like feeling tired or fatigued, or if they, you know, do normal activities, they have trouble focusing the way they used to. They could have ongoing fever, cough, chest pain, headaches, troubles with their sleep. And as you are kind of, these symptoms can make someone just to others like they're less interested in going out, that they're more reserved. We don't typically see folks developing things like, you know, phobias, you know, that are clinical, but certainly we have all been talking about how to stay safe from germs, and some folks do take that to a different level, but that's not necessarily long COVID. But yeah, I think there's a wide variety of symptoms, you know, digestive, there's folks who've had their hearing has been impacted, joint pains, and so that is part of the challenge, is how do we make sure that, you know, a lot of different ways to identified and can get connected to different resources. And if down the road, you know, we hope to find treatments that we're able to connect them to those as well.
Indeed. Is there any treatment available for long COVID? And also, do you expect new boosters this fall that people should be aware of?
Prevention, you know, is certainly the first step. And we do know that folks that have gotten their vaccines at this point appear less likely to get long COVID. And so certainly trying to make sure you get your up-to-date vaccine this fall. We do anticipate the FDA, the CDC will approve a new booster that will be targeted towards the Omicron strain that's been circulating more this year. And so think of it like our flu shots and how those get updated each year with kind of the newest flu strain. Our scientists have been doing that for our COVID variant strains for the last year and a half now. And so the hope is that folks will be able to get that around September, October, if it gets approved. And hopefully we can kind of do a push to get our flu and COVID shots together to prevent any of these kind of long COVID type symptoms from the beginning.
Where can people find out more information, Dr. Nathan Tremolo, if they're just looking for just information to stay up to date?
The Minnesota Department of Health has a long COVID webpage. The CDC has a long COVID webpage, and really recommend folks check that out. And one of the changes we haven't talked about quick that I'm going to the plug here is, with the end of the public health emergency and some of the changes in our laws, folks have to renew their Medicaid. So they have to, you have to get your health care through Medicaid, which about 40% of our community does. 60% of our children get their health care through Medicaid, right? And so everyone's going to have to, in the next year, renew that to make sure that they, when they show up to the doctor's office, they show up to the pharmacy, that everything continues to stay covered. And so folks should be getting an envelope in the mail with like a blue dot. When you see the blue, it's time to renew. Make sure you fill that out and send it back as soon as possible. And you can go to Renew My Coverage. Just Google Minnesota Renew My Coverage, and you'll be able to find information on that if you've got questions.
Well, thank you for covering that. That's Dr. Nathan Tremolo, Medical Director for Department of Human Services. Always a pleasure. Thank you for keeping us up to date and talking about where we are with long COVID. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hope everyone has a great weekend.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast,
featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the new New Beginnings podcast today.
Just for fun this week, a new law that bans restaurants and eateries in New York City from voluntarily handing out utensils, condiment packets, and napkins in takeout and delivery orders kicked in Monday. People must specifically request the items to get them in their orders. The so-called Skip the Stuff law aims to reduce plastic use to help the environment. Businesses have a grace period until July of next year before they face actual fines of up to $400. For now, they'll receive warnings if caught violating the law. Wow. A Southern California man is facing charges for allegedly prank calling his local sheriff's office thousands of times. Luke Dumas was arrested after San Bernardino County sheriff's officials said he called the office over 7,000 times in the span of 4 months earlier this year. Deputies say Dumas's calls would always come from an unknown number and were harassing and annoying. They say the prank calls also kept staff from attending to actual emergency calls as quickly as they would like. And finally, Verizon customers with older phone plans could see their bills go up next month. The company says starting this week, some older plans will be charged an additional $3 to $5 per mobile phone line every month. The unlimited plans that are currently available to new customers will not get hit with the additional charge. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Even though the federal COVID public health emergency has ended, it's important to take steps to protect yourself from the virus. The ending of the public health emergency does not change the availability of COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines will continue to be provided by the federal government through the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It's also anticipated that COVID-19 vaccines will transition to the private market in early fall. You can learn more details about the transitions at the Minnesota Department of Health.
Today, while you're going about your normal routine, 1,370 seniors will fall victim to financial fraud.
Never saw it coming.
Many will lose their life savings.
He wiped us out.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
He wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Show's app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Show's app and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening this weekend. And now we turn our attention to Kathy McClear. She is the state director for AARP Minnesota. And we want to talk to you today about driver safety and brain health, the AARP Information Center. And hello, Kathy. Let's bring these two points together. If you're an experienced driver, do you really need to take a driver's course if you have a driver's license already?
Yeah, you know, driving has changed, Freddie. So there are new technologies in our cars. There's new driving patterns. I know when I moved back to Minnesota, there were a lot more roundabouts than there were the last time I lived there. And there's just so many more distractions on the road today. And distracted driving, that means it's time to take a fresh look at your driving habits and get some reminders about how to drive defensively. And so we're super excited to bring these two really important programs. First, We Need to Talk, and then Smart Driver Tech to our Information Center at the Mall of America this weekend, August 5th.
Wow. So talk about driver safety. We Need to Talk. Who is it for, actually?
Yeah, so this is for anyone, particularly people who maybe have aging parents. And so this program is really designed to help you assess a loved one's driving skills, provide some tools to help you have that really important conversation about, is it time to maybe hang up the keys? And that is such a hard conversation to have because, as you know, being able to drive is the equivalent of independence, right? So when someone can drive, they can get themselves to the store, they can get themselves to the doctor. But when it's a matter of public safety, when it's a matter of your loved one's safety and the safety of everyone else on the road, it's really important to have that conversation about whether someone should be driving. And our drivers, our driver safety instructors, you know, have a lot of tips and resources to help families have that really important conversation.
Also, the course talks about technology.
Yeah, absolutely. Cars have changed dramatically. when I recently bought a new to me vehicle, I had to have the sales guy walk through all of those new features so that I knew how to use them. And our Smart Driver Tech course is designed to help you really understand what those new technologies are in your car and how to operate it safely. And so we have both of those classes August 5th at our Information Center at the Mall of America. One's at 11 a.m. and one's at 1 p.m.
Is there a need to register?
No, folks can just come on out, but you can certainly get more information at aarp.org/MN.
Can you talk a little bit about the healthy brain, Kathy?
Yeah, you know, this is such an important piece of aging well, right? So can your brain match your lifespan? And then really understanding what those different stages of Alzheimer's and dementias are. And so we have two sessions, one on August 10th and one on August 17th, both at the Information Center, again, out at the Mall of America, that can help kind of walk through some of those strategies to help ensure a healthier brain as you age, what you can do now for mental fitness down the road. And then the one on August 17th is really helps people understand that dementia can change over time. It not only affects your memories, but can affect your entire body. And so those sessions will really go a long way toward helping you have a healthier brain and healthier life as you age.
That's August 17th. And from now until August 11th, you've got a great partnership with the Hallie Q. Brown Community Center.
Absolutely. So we believe in giving back to our communities and making stronger communities. And one way that we're working to do that through AERP is working with the Hallie Q. Brown Community Center on a school supply drive. It's right around the corner. and now through August 11th, folks can drop off school supplies at the Information Center at the Mall of America.
And if our listeners missed any of these details, where can they go for those extra information or the information to help them to navigate through all the things that AARP is doing?
Absolutely. AARP.org/MN.
She's Kathy McClear, the State Director for AARP Minnesota, and this is New Beginnings. It's time now for a new segment we call Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Things. I was recently in the Nebraska area and I came across an individual who was bent over at the waist drawing on the pavement overlooking the Missouri River. So I stopped and talked with him. Meet Douglas Lee, an electrician and a part-time chalk artist. Tell me about this drawing that you're putting on the pavement here.
Well, a few years ago during COVID, I got interested in doing chalk art. And I started with a lot of different things. Sometimes I like to draw big things. So like I'll take a picture that I draw or a picture that I admire and grid it. And then I'll go out and draw a much larger grid on the concrete. Kind of cheating. It's not freehand. And then I'll fill it in. And it's always very striking to walk over like a 20-foot portrait of somebody, or in this case, kind of a spirograph design.
So what is this design that you have on the pavement this morning?
It's just like kind of an atom shape. It's ellipses.
He has a few tools that he uses. It's not freehand.
I lay a tin can there and there and put a weight on it and put a loop of string between it. And that way I can get these really nice ellipses.
Is this the largest that you've ever done?
No.
How large?
I go over there across the river to that large park there, and I'll do like these are 20 foot across. I'll do like 40 foot ones.
And what happens? I mean, it could rain tonight.
Yeah, art is not eternal. They don't last very long.
How young are you?
63.
63. So what does this do for you to do this type of public art?
It's fun to go out and do something creative that most people, I think, enjoy.
What do you want people to say about you and your work 5 years from now, 10 years from now?
They say, oh, we were walking down the street and we saw this neat piece of chalk art and it made us happy for a minute or two.
How does an electrician, maybe do you do atoms all the time? I mean, you're an electrician. It seems to be a correlation there.
Oh, I'm just interested in graphic art and designs, actually, like that.
What will be your final thought for us this morning?
Look me up on Instagram, OmaChalk, OmaChalk.
Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thank you very much.
This is New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
So glad you're with us on New Beginnings, and it happened this week. In 1893, Henry Perkey and William Ford received a patent for shredded wheat. In 1936, the Summer Olympic Games opened in Berlin. Adolf Hitler presided over the opening ceremony. In 1941, Parade magazine did a 3-page feature on the United States Army's newest gadget, the Jeep. In 1944, 13-year-old Anne Frank made the last entry in her famous diary. The young Jewish girl and her family were captured by Nazi troops 3 days later. They had been in hiding for 2 years. In 1971, the concert for Bangladesh was held in New York City's Madison Square Garden. The show was recorded and sold as a multi-record set. The concert and the album raised more than $11 million for the starving people of Bangladesh. In 1981, the rock video cable channel MTV debuted. The first video shown was Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles. In 1995, Westinghouse Electric Corporation agreed to purchase CBS for $5.4 billion. It was the second network TV takeover in recent days. A day earlier, Walt Disney struck a deal to acquire Capital Cities ABC for $19 billion. And finally, in 2001, NFL offensive lineman Corey Stringer died just one day after collapsing of heat stroke during the Minnesota Vikings training camp. He was 27 years old. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
If you have a positive COVID-19 test, it's important to stay home and away from others for a minimum of 5 full days from the date of the symptoms or the date you had a positive test result. When near people who live with you, wear a well-fitting mask. You can return to most activities after 5 full days of staying away from others if your symptoms are getting better. Continue to wear a mask around others indoors through day 10. A message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
Each year, financial fraud steals up to $37 billion from senior citizens.
It was devastating.
What are we going to do?
Many lose their entire life savings.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
You wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Dying with dignity and comfort is what we all want. Join us this week as we talk about living wills and how to ensure your medical wishes are respected, even when you're unable to voice them. And I'm with Label Sternbach. You know him. He is Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety. And also, you may even have the book entitled Authenticity. His website is yieldsforyou.com. Label, I'm so excited to be with you this week, and thank you for the last couple of weeks of really robust conversations about trust and our wills. And I want to know if we can start. I told our audience that we talk about living wills today, and I said, gosh, I should have checked with Label to see if you'd be willing to explain to us what a living will is and why it's so vital to us.
You know me, I'm always up to talk about random stuff. So
why is it vital? What is a living will, Label?
What is a living will? So a living will well, as the name implies, it's a will for when you're alive. It's kind of a catch-all term that encompasses a few different things depending on your state. And every state has different laws and calls it different things. And even within a state, you may have one hospital call it one thing and another hospital call it another thing. But what it is a framework of laws that allow you to designate authority or to pre-authorize and predetermine how you want yourself to be treated or actions to be taken in certain events. So let me give you the simplest example, right? The one that probably everyone's familiar with is, does a person want to remain on life support, right? If they become a vegetable, do they want to continue life as a vegetable hooked up to a ventilator and being, you know, basically kept alive by machines, or do they want the plug to be pulled, right? At a very simplistic level, right, that question is what a living will would answer. But it can get more complicated, right? It can get into questions of, you know, do not resuscitate orders, of if a person dies, right, and they have clinical death in the hospital or whatever, do they want to be brought back to life? And for someone who's, let's say, in their 90s, right, or their very frail health, the act of reviving them, you know, where you're doing CPR and you're forcing air into their lungs, the act of doing those compressions, to do it properly, you got to crack ribs. And when a person's, you know, in their 90s, they may not heal from that, or the surviving that and coming back and, you know, the recovery may be worse than them dying. And so do not resuscitate orders, when to end life, what treatments do you want, right? Like, you know, you may want, you know, one set of treatments if it's just an injection or an IV, but you may not want to be subject to tests every 6 hours or invasive treatments. And so outlining what types of treatments you want, what medical actions you are okay with and not okay with, that is what kind of comes under the auspices of a living will. It also includes the authority for both the hospital and medical practitioners to follow those directives, because by default, they're not allowed to just, you know, not treat you, right? That goes against everything that our, you know, Western ideals are based on, of, you know, the taking care of the needy and, you know, treating the sick is, you know, they don't have a choice. A doctor has to treat someone. And if you're in the hospital, they have to bring you back. So having laws that allow you to circumvent that and say, no, this law doesn't apply now. You don't have to treat me, right? So that's what these frameworks are, what documents you need, how that happens, what are the circumstances when they come into play. Every state is different. Every hospital may be different in what they'll respect, but that's what living wills are. They outline, you know, who can take control of your treatment when you're not around to say it, how you should be treated medically, what interventions you're okay with if you're not around to give an opinion.
Interesting. So I've just learned a new term this week, a framework of laws. That's what a living will is. So is that different from the examples and the outline that you just gave, labeled than a health proxy?
So a health proxy is when you appoint someone else to make medical decisions for you. And again, a health proxy is something that fits into this framework of laws. Not every state, you know, has the same laws of health proxy. Not all. I think there are states that don't even allow health proxies. So it's something that, you know, you need to see what's available. But yeah, a health proxy would be in that category. And you can also have, you know, health proxies that are potentially, you know, you have when I'm unconscious and I can't respond, or when I have no expectations of recovering, you know, consciousness, or maybe it's, you know, being lucid, right? I'm conscious, but I don't understand what's happening to me. Mm-hmm. That's when this health proxy, or sometimes it's called, you know, medical power of attorney, you know, that kind of stuff, that's when it springs into effect. And some of them are like, no, I want, you know, I don't like making medical decisions. And so if I can't make the decision, I'm not available. You can talk to my daughter, my kid, my whatever, right? This is a person who I trust to make my medical decisions.
Interesting. Label Sternbach with us this week. We're talking about living wills. And I thought of a couple of questions after we discussed wills last week and estate planning. And I'm wondering about financial decisions. We covered that pretty well last week. But how does a living will play with the financial decisions that we make at that time, as you called it? How do we ensure that everything gets taken care of? Is that already taken care of with a simple will that we talked about last week or an estate plan?
That's a great question. And one of my clients who I was talking to about this, she used to work as a teller in a bank. And she said that very few people understood that the thing that I'm about to talk to you about ends at death. And so I think as we enter into this conversation, I think it's important to understand that there's a big division between documents that give people authority while we're alive and documents that give people authority when we're no longer alive. Right? Those are two very separate things. And generally speaking, the same document cannot be used for both circumstances. So I could have a will that says that when I pass, my wife can make all financial decisions, right? I will appoint her as my executor of my estate. And if she's not around, I appoint, you know, so-and-so, which is perfectly fine for a will. But that only applies when I'm no longer around. While I'm still around, while I'm still alive, while I'm still taking breaths, doesn't matter whether I'm, you know, aware or not, right? Like whether I'm mentally with it, that doesn't matter. I can be a vegetable in a coma. That power doesn't happen yet, right? That document doesn't come into play. It's just a piece of paper. It's not even worth the ink that it's printed on. So in order to give someone while we're still alive that authority to make financial decisions for us, and whether it's financial decisions, whether it's business decisions, right? Let's say, you know, I have multiple businesses that I'm part of. And if something were to incapacitate me, or if I was just unreachable for a period of time, those businesses would suffer, right? And so I need someone who can act with my authority, whether it's to engage in deals and sign contracts and do things like that. And so that's where other documents come into play. And the most common one is called a limited power of attorney. And it's called, sometimes it's called a springing power of attorney. I'll explain the difference in a second. But a power of attorney allows somebody to act on your behalf as if they were you. Right. So I signed an unlimited power of attorney and I said, you know, Fred, you can represent me, period. Right. I give you my power of attorney. As far as the law is concerned, as far as anybody is concerned, you are me when you say you're acting on my behalf. Mm-hmm. You have no restrictions, no anything. You can walk into the bank and pull out all money from my account because you are me in reality. Right. Because legally, there's no difference between the two of us. That's a power of attorney. Now, nobody really wants to give someone that much blanket authority, right? That's a lot of blanket authority. And yes, you should be careful, because I have seen where unscrupulous children or, you know, lawyers who, you know, should know better have created documents that do that. So you never want to give blanket authority. What you do want is either a limited power of attorney where you say, I give you authority to act on my behalf for X, Y circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. And then you can even go a step further and you can say, and this authority only happens, it's a springing authority that only happens when this other event happens, when I'm unavailable for more than 2 or 3 weeks, when it's deemed that I'm not going to be able to make this decision, you know, in time or whatever, right? You decide what those circumstances are that you're okay with, and your state laws need to allow it. Every state has different laws as to how those power of attorneys can manifest. But that's what the document says, and that's what it does. And it gives that person that authority to act on your behalf. And it could be a medical power of attorney, or it could be a financial power of attorney, or it can just be a general power of attorney. That's really up to you to decide what gives you comfort and what you want to see happen. And generally, those documents are one or to 2 pages long. They're not very long, they're very big.
I can see the and hear the conversations across the dinner table or the breakfast table as these details start to roll out. So I'm just curious, Label, so is all of this, is this at all related to asset protection trusts or Medicaid spend down?
So those are something else. Those are more okay. Going back to the trusts and the specific use cases of trusts. So when you have trusts, they can protect assets, right? And now the definition of a trust is that it's a legal entity that owns something, right? That's the definition. It's not a person. It's a legal entity that owns something that's not a corporation and not a person. It's this unique type of entity. And so when you have, there are trusts that you can create that protect your assets from like Medicaid. This is where Medicaid will come in and say, well, you got, before the state is going to spend their money on taking care of your health, we want to make sure that you've spent all your money on your health. And some states will say, well, you can exclude, you know, your home from that valuation, right? So we don't want to make you homeless because that'll cost us even more money, mm-hmm. but we'll make you spend all your retirement savings. Or they'll say you can have up to, you know, $50,000 or $100,000. Every state's different. So a Medicaid trust, spend down trust, you know, all that kind of stuff that comes into planning for when you potentially have a very large amount of medical expenses that far exceed your ability to pay them, and you need to go from having Medicare to having Medicaid and being on, you know, a beneficiary of the state, that's where you want to start engaging with lawyers who specialize in that, because those rules are very state specific of how do we protect your assets in the most amount of assets in a way that the state won't come after them while you're still alive or after death, right? Because the state has both options for coming after them. And again, the only way that it really works is because it limits how much access you have to it. It no longer becomes your asset to control. It becomes this trust asset to control, or you stay within those, you know, lines.
Makes a lot of sense. And we're just about out of time, but I would imagine that yieldsforyou.com goes into some detail about this with a different planning guides that you have.
Yeah, so we talk about it a little bit on our website. We don't go into a crazy amount of detail. It's something that we talk about in our estate planning. We have articles about this. But if this is something that really pertains to you, I highly recommend that you talk to Medicaid attorneys, if that's something, if Medicaid is something that's in your future. If you're just looking at, you know, power of attorneys and things like that, that should be part of your estate plan. And your financial advisor should really be guiding the conversation for you and help connect you with the professionals in your state and really who are very local to you, who can help you draft those documents and make sure that they do what you want. Because, you know, every state is different. Not only every state, but every hospital network is different. You know, the state may say that you can do XYZ, but the hospital will say, we will only accept, you know, Y, or we'll only do it if you fill out, you know, if you do it the way that we want you to do it. So you want someone who understands that nuances and deals with that on a daily basis to make sure that you get this done right.
Makes sense. We got to leave it right there. If you like additional information, as I was saying, go to yieldsforyou. That's yields, the number four, the letter U.com. And next time when we get together, join us as we talk about romance scams and the new threat facing single retirees. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. It's time to celebrate national days, and today is National Mustard Day. You can celebrate by pulling out your favorite hot dog or your brat or a hamburger and spread that yellow mustard. Or maybe you like a little spice in your mustard. Whatever it is, celebrate today with National Mustard Day. And I'm Freddie Bell.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference. How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
1 out of every 100 people over the age of 65 will become a victim of financial fraud.
Never saw it coming.
He wiped us out.
This must be stopped.
He told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
He wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
And have any sense of worthlessness, or that you do not deserve the best that life can provide. So invite us for a moment to turn to the silence, to enter what we call silent unity. That is when we come together holding and affirming an idea, not each of you alone, but as a community. I invite you to close your eyes if you choose. Become aware of your breath. Take a deep breath just to remember, wow, your connection with life. It's in every breath. It's in every pulse of your heart. You're one with the infinite, with the power that brought you into this world and created all good things. Spirit of wisdom, help us to remember our fathers with a devoted love for the guidance and provision they brought into our lives. We remember clearly and with focus all the human qualities they demonstrated for our welfare. Now, being honest with ourselves, if any of our expectations were not met, we go the extra mile. We become prodigious. We release in forgiveness now. Any resentment about in any way that our Father did not meet our needs, our expectations. We allow our fathers to live their lives in a manner in which they can progress on their unique spiritual path. Now let us use the power of imagination. Imagine your father or that special fatherly figure in your life. Imagine him as a child. See with your mind's eye that child Allow that image to expand as your father grew. But hold an image of him before you were born. See him as an image of a human being whose sole purpose was not bringing you into the world. He had a life. He had dreams. He was a unique creation of God. Now see your father aging to the point to where you were born. And he guided and cared as you grew. Now as these creative images move through your mind, realize a complete, full, blessed image of your father, because he was more than all these images, more than all your memories, much more. He was a creation of God. Hold that in the silence for a moment, as we allow our awareness to return to this outer sanctuary where we're seated among friends. Let the wow, be upon your heart, giving thanks for this world of wonder in which you live with your father, with one who guided you through this life, a father that made a promise and always tried to make good on that promise. Whatever our individual stories of father may be, we can still know in truth that prodigious father of unconditional love, welcoming us in every circumstance in our life. Thanks be to God for those we have known who have known us, and where there is love. And so it is. Amen. And gently bring your attention back to this room. But whatever that little meditation practice was for you, at least let it remind you that you can always commune with your prodigious father. If you just remember, as the prodigal son did, I can go home. I can go home.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
And now it's time for Outburst, a time to share excerpts from my upcoming book inspired by the timeless wisdom of Words to the Wise. Today's message could be a powerful one for you. Take time to discover yourself through others. In the course of our lives, there are moments of revelation that can reshape our understanding of who we are. For me, such a moment arrived when I discovered the truth about my father's passing. It had been nearly 50 years since I last saw him, when I was just beginning my broadcasting career in Omaha. Prior to seeing him 50 years earlier, my dad had come to visit us in Kansas City, where we lived with our mother and grandparents. Our parents had separated when we were much younger, and the years had created a void between us. Despite my many attempts to reach out and establish a connection, I could never bridge the gap. It wasn't until earlier this year, when my wife discovered my father through Ancestry.com, that the doors of understanding began to open. Unfortunately, we learned that my dad had died 7 years ago. However, a call from my father's former wife brought about a pivotal conversation. During the call, memories flooded back. I vividly recall the time I last saw my dad, where he introduced me to my twin younger brothers. However, their names remained unknown to me until now. Through the facilitation of my father's widow, we had a three-way call, and as I spoke with my twin brothers for the first time, I felt an overwhelming sense of connection, a profound understanding of myself as well. In that conversation, it became evident that our shared bloodline extended far beyond mere genetics. It was a bond that transcended time and distance. Through my newfound connection with my brothers, I felt a sense of grounding and completeness. They provided me with a missing piece of my identity, and in turn, I discovered a deeper understanding of who I truly am. Today's words to the wise, take time to discover yourself through others. In reaching out, embracing our shared history, and connecting with those who are a part of our lives, we can unravel the tapestry of our own being. Through these connections, we can find solace, rediscover our roots, and forge a stronger sense of self. As I continue on this remarkable journey, I invite you to reflect on the connections in your own life. Embrace the opportunity to explore the profound wisdom and insights that others can bring. In doing so, you might even discover facets of yourself and in turn experience a profound sense of belonging. For more outbursts, stay connected with me through my website, freddiebell.com, and together let's uncover the hidden treasures within ourselves and embrace the transformative power of human connection. I'm Freddie Bell. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.